Do you have a helicopter going over your place right now?
You can hear that?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a little loud.
I didn't know that you lived in a war zone. Feels like it sounds like an Apache helicopter is about to land on your front porch.
Well, that's not possible because I don't have a porch.
Oh my god, they're coming.
Oh, wow, they really went right through.
It's the Russians. The Russians are attacking. Oh my god.
There's an ambulance in like a street over, but I don't think that has anything to do with this. Can you still hear it?
Yeah, I definitely can still hear it. You speak...
Going away.
Do not speak ill of Ovechkin. We come get you.
Yeah, we come get you with helicopter.
This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to Board the Pod!
Welcome, everybody. Welcome, Caps fans, everybody out there. How's it going? This is What the Puck. It's a Washington Capitals podcast. And as always, joining me via Skype, we got Coach Dan. What's going on, man?
Not too much. How you doing?
I'm doing good. I got to go to the Caps game this past Tuesday night. I wish it would have been a little bit differently on the scoreboard, but I got to be there in person to see Alex Ovechkin become the all-time points leader for the Capitals. So let's start the show talking about that. Congrats to Ovi. What a feat. Really short time for this guy to do that in the Caps franchise history, but wow. And what a way to get a point, too. I mean, he was often of an assist with a guy who's always, you know, being called very selfish in this league to get his all-time franchise-leading point with an assist is pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great thing to have for him. I'm sure he appreciates it on some level, but, you know, he said that he wants to put the team first, and it's more about team goals than his own personal goals. I think he's achieved personally – like personal goals, everything he could have wanted. He's been an MVP. He was the Rookie of the Year. Now he wants that Stanley Cup. So getting this sort of thing where he got to be the Caps all-time point leader with 826 points, which he only did in 691 games, is actually pretty impressive.
Yeah, but, I think Adam Vingan tweeted out that he did it in, 691, and Bondra, he did it,
what? 961.
961, yeah, so a little
now,
crazy.
It was a different game back when Bondra played. There was a lot more clutching and grabbing, so it was a lot harder to score. But the point is, it's you know, congratulations to Ovechkin. It was a great thing for him to get to be the all-time points leader, and he's earned it. He's played very well, but it's sort of what you'd mentioned before about how everyone calls him selfish. I thought it was when I was reading. I'm blanking on who it was from, but it might have been actually, I think it was Russian Machine Never Breaks. They were talking about how the guys on, it was either NHL, the NHL Network, or someone up in Canada was saying how he's a selfish player and all he cares about is personal goals. And then they had a quote from Ovechkin after the loss to Calgary where he says something along the lines of, I don't care about personal goals, it's about the team. So, you know, the whole thing of Ovechkin being a selfish player and the Canadian bias against him, just, you know, the media bias against him just continues. But, you know, it's great for him to get this sort of thing, and hopefully the team can turn it around and start playing better for him soon.
Yeah, absolutely. And like you said, the guy has achieved pretty much every personal thing that he can, except he doesn't have the hardware right now. You know, he doesn't have a Stanley Cup. He doesn't have a gold medal. He's got a championship at Worlds, and he's got whatever the KHL hands out. But that's it right now. So really, he's got to get that hardware together. He's got to get the cup. He's got to raise it over his head to really – I mean, he can break all these records, but – people are always going to be down on you if he doesn't have that Stanley Cup. So let's talk about this game. It happened this past Tuesday. The Capitals looked like they were going to win this game, and it looks like they just kind of lost some steam. They slowed down. They weren't revving on you know, all cylinders. They weren't playing all the way through. You got to play a full 60-minute game. What is it about this team? And this is something that has plagued them for a very long time. It just seems as if they get a lead or it comes close to the end of a game that they just kind of, they kind of chill out and put their feet up and don't play all the way through. What is it about this team that does that?
You know, I wonder how far back. I don't want to attribute necessarily or blame Boudreaux for anything like that, because I don't think it necessarily was his problem. But I think there was some extent during his tenure here that the players were given a free pass in terms of some of their behavior and their preparation and how they played to some extent. And I think it sort of carried over in the lackadaisical approach where they, you know, they take a lead or they get to a point in the game where they're comfortable with the way things are going and they don't make the transition, you know, mentally to continue to play as high a level as they were before. I mean, just because you take a lead doesn't mean that you can slack off. You can't just suddenly play defensive hockey the rest of the way because good teams are going to be able to score goals on you, as we have seen. Now, in the interest of full disclosure, I was not able to see much of the games at the loss to Tampa and Arizona, and I saw none of the overtime loss to Calgary because my Verizon Wi-Fi and cable went out on Saturday evening and was not able to go back on until they could send out a technician today. So that today being Wednesday afternoon. So thanks, Verizon. You guys are great. Jerks. So, yes, I saw some of the Tampa Bay loss. I saw some of the loss against Arizona. And, you know, what I saw, I wasn't, you know, I mean, when I was watching, they're playing okay. But I wasn't entirely pleased with the way things are going. It's a consistent problem we've had for a number of years now where they slack off during games. And I think they have a coaching staff now that's not going to handle that stuff anymore. And I think, was it after the Calgary game that they had a closed-door meeting? But normally, you know, you go and you talk to the press right after the game.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The press had to wait for like 45 minutes to talk to the team because they were having a closed-door meeting.
Yeah, they were clearly not pleased. And that's what you sort of expect in this situation, especially when you're on a five-game losing streak. But to go and lose the way they have, and I think Trotz even came out and said that these guys aren't going to change things, I'm going to change it. And I think he was talking also about Brian McClellan is not pleased. And I would not be surprised if they lose another game or two. I would not be surprised if they make a trade of someone of, you know, noticeable value.
Really?
A bigger name gets traded out soon to shake this team up. And I'm not advocating for that. I don't think that's necessarily the answer, but I wouldn't be surprised if that's what they do to sort of shake things up.
Yeah, you know, they really got to do something because
it's not a lack of talent.
No, absolutely not. There's definitely not a lack of talent. And here's the other thing. I commented this on my buddy Barry at the game last night. The second period, it was ending. And I said this in a podcast, I think, last season or the season before. And I said, when those players here, one minute remaining in the period, they just shut down and they just kind of, you know, skate through and kind of eat that minute up. And at the end of the second period, up against the Coyotes, these guys were playing hard-nosed hockey. Like they were still trying to get goals with just 10 seconds left on the clock. And I was like, check this out. A year ago, they would not have been doing this. So it really sucks seeing these guys not be able to get wins when it looks like they're trying to play a full 60 minutes. And you could definitely tell. I mean, I know you couldn't see it, but up against the Coyotes.
No, I could not.
at the middle of the third period, I saw these guys get tired. I'm like, look, they're slowing down. Something's going to happen here because they got tired. I mean, some players showed their age. But the big thing is it looks like they're not conditioned to play a full 60 minutes. And that's huge right now. I mean, for a game that has advanced so much and now is all about speed, you gotta stay quick on your feet throughout the entire 60 minutes. Minutes or stuff like this happens and games get out of hand. I mean, that last goal, I mean, I don't know if it could have been prevented, but you know, it was something that everybody saw coming. You know, it was very much telegraphed that the Capitals were tired and they weren't going to be able to play as much as they should to finish up the game.
Yeah, I didn't see the goal either because my internet was out. No, I'm sorry, I'm done with the internet jokes. It's just, it's tough to say. I mean, if you know, you should have given a lackadaisical preparation for the season for the last couple of years, and then you're suddenly expected to be these workhorse guys that are, you know, at the best shape they've ever been in for, you know, the entire season. It's going to be tough. You're going to have points in the season where you're tired, and that's part of the game. But, you know, they should still have their legs going. Every other team has the same situation, so they should still have their legs going. It's not like this team has a ton of injuries that they're having to cover for. It's just what, Likes out right now?
Yeah.
And Orlov. You know, I kind of question right now whether Orlov would be getting a jersey right now with the way Schmidt's playing. But we can talk about that later. But with the way things are going and, you know, if the legs are getting tired, that's unacceptable. They need to do more preparation, get their legs better. This is part where you have to work on your endurance and you want to take those days to work on your cardio to be able to build up so that you're not tired at the end of games. I mean, you go and you look, it's silly to sort of talk about. But if you go back to the movie Miracle, and I'm sure part of that movie was sort of added dramatic effect on the 1980 gold medal team, but, you know, sort of have the legs feed the wolf to be able to have that where at the end of the game, you're still pushing as hard as you can. You're tired, but you're not tired to the extent where you're not able to hustle and be able to battle in the corners and out hustle the other team and get down for pucks and things like that. And so if that's where the team needs to be, they got to do it. It's up to Trotz and the coaching staff to be able to get these guys' legs better suited to be playing these games later in the season. Because if they're tired now, what's going to happen in January and February?
Yeah, that's a big concern right there, because this is the beginning of the season, and they should be pretty fresh. So we'll see what happens down the line. Again, this is going to just be me kind of talking about this past game because I was there, and that's the one that I remember the most right now. But Willie Baby, Tom Wilson, he got to the top line. He played with Ovechkin and Backstrom, and I hope it stays that way for a while, because I thought this line was great last night. Russian Machine posted how well it was. Ovechkin got 6 shots on goal. Wilson got 5 shots on goal. And besides Wilson, you know, he kind of got a crapshoot last year with Oates staying on that fourth line, only working 6 minutes a night. From being this first game playing with Ovechkin and Backstrom, he was able to hold his own. Yeah, you know, there's going to be some adjustment. He was just playing in the AHL last week. But Tom Wilson, I think he's going to be a great addition to this line. This is going to be a solid first line, because he's doing a great job. He's protecting Ovechkin. He's protecting Backstrom, as well as, you know, being just a brute out there on the ice. He's also able to park himself in front of the net. He's able to he's got a little bit of speed behind him because he's younger. He seems fine, you know, after having an injury. So I'm so happy to see Tom Wilson on this top line, because I think this is just going to be solid. I think there's no way that this line should be broken up, at least for a little while, because these guys are playing excellent together. And Tom Wilson's kind of like I think even Russian Machine said this, he's a faster Mike Knubel. That's a perfect person to be paired with Backstrom and Ovechkin.
Well, I think last week we had said that he was sort of the replacement for Knubel, the thing they've been missing since they had him. And I Trotz had come out and said that he wanted Wilson on the first line to start the season. Now, Wilson couldn't do that because he was hurt. But I think if Wilson can kind of play his game and play with these guys and be able to put the puck on net, then I think he's going to do great. And from what I was reading on Twitter, because using my phone, so that was great for data minutes. But from what I understand, Wilson's been playing well, playing on the top line, and I'm going to the game on Saturday, so hopefully we'll be seeing him playing well then as well. It's an 8 o'clock game, which is kind of weird on a Saturday. Because it's not nationally televised.
Right.
This is weird. Sorry. Anyways, I was looking at the schedule. But yeah, it's sort of a weird thing that the Theo had the game at 8 o'clock. But back to Wilson. I think that is sort of when they drafted him, when McPhee picked him up in the draft. I think that was what he ideally saw him on the first or second line. Maybe not this soon, and probably not last season. But I think that's where the ideal place for him was when you pick him up in the first round, that you think he's going to be a first or second line winger of the future. If he could end up being like, I mean, the comparison for him, we've said this many times before, was Milan Lucic. And if he could be like Lucic, then I'm okay with it. I think that's a great pickup for this team. And maybe Wilson is the new Mike Knubel, and the guy that can play on that first line, get the garbage goals, put some shots on net and knock some people around.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what he's going to do. And I think that's a big thing of why he's on this line as well. Alex Ovechkin kind of took a clothesline from one of the Flames and got knocked down pretty hard up against the boards and then onto the ice. And a couple of people in the arena were worried that he was hurt. But here comes Tom Wilson, man. He's not taking any crap from you. And I like the fact that he's on this line just to have a little bit extra protection for guys like Ovechkin and Backstrom, because even though he does have some skill and he's a good hockey player, he's also a brute, and he's not gonna take any crap from anybody. He'll take you down if you're gonna take out the captain.
I mean, we've seen that before, where he's willing to step up in sort of that Matt Bradley role of years past, where, you know, anything happens, he'll jump, maybe not jump off the bench because now he gets suspended for that, but he'll jump in and have a few choice words, as they say, with you if you decide to do something that's not very nice. I think it's great. I mean, Ovechkin to defend himself, there's no question about that. We've seen him fight before. Or at least get huffy with people. But, you know, Backstrom is not really his style. And so having Wilson on that line, I think, does provide a little protection, although I don't think Ovechkin necessarily needs it, as if you go after him, then you're leaving Backstrom wide open. And I think as Wilson gets more comfortable, the teams are going to have to focus less, to some extent, on just stopping Ovechkin, because, you know, Backstrom's shooting more now, and if Wilson starts shooting and scoring more, they're going to have to worry about all three guys.
Yeah, that's going to be a big thing. So here's something that I guess we should kind of talk about. And even though we've said it in the past this season that goaltending is not really a worry of any of ours, this game that was on Sunday up against the Coyotes when they came to D.C. was 6-5. Are you worried at all that Justin Peters was able to give up six goals in a game? I mean, that is a pretty big number for a hockey game. Do you think that he just had an off night, or is this something you think we should be a little bit worried about?
I'm not worried. I mean, he's a backup goalie, so if you get, you know, he's not going to play a ton of games, and if he just had a bad game, he had a bad game. I think it's one bad game. He's played well up until that point. It sounds like everybody had a bad game, so, you know, maybe it just wasn't, you know, it wasn't just him. So, you know, I'm not worried about Peters. Right now, I mean, the goaltending department itself has to play better. That's what Trotz was saying. I was listening on, I think it was on the radio, they were talking about it, and Trotz was saying that everyone has to play better, the goaltending department itself. So it's not just Peters. Holpe's got to do better, and the whole team itself has to do better right now. Losing these games and losing these, you know, consistent 4-2 games, or getting a bad loss to Tampa or Arizona game they should have won after they apparently dominated the first period. It's just, these kind of games are unacceptable.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, this is really weird because I really don't know where to improve. They're playing well. I said
it's
this on
mental.
Yeah, I said it on Twitter over the weekend. This team, you can't complain about the way they're playing because they're doing good. I mean, I'm very impressed with what they've been doing so far. But how come that's not reflecting on the scoreboard? I'm not sure. I don't know if it's like you said, if it's mental. I don't know if it's being overconfident after you get a lead or
they
what.
They can't be overconfident anymore because they keep losing these games. I think it's mental. I think it's a situation where they feel like, okay, we're ahead. We can just play a little bit more defensively. And there's just too much time on the clock to do that. You know, you got to go out and keep up the pressure. If you're dominating the possession of the puck and you're keeping the pressure on them, why stop?
Right.
You know, you can rest later. Finish the game.
Yeah, that's all you can really say is they got to finish it. I mean, everything is there.
They ease up and let teams back. I mean, how many times have we seen it where they score a goal and then take a penalty?
Yeah.
They give teams the opportunity to get back into games because they lighten up the pressure a little bit, or they do too much in terms of trying to, you know, play your game, play sound hockey. You don't need to go out and, you know, consistently. Well, some of it's if their legs are tired, they're getting lazy with these tripping penalties or hooking penalties because they're just throwing their sticks in there instead of keeping their legs moving and playing the body. It's a lot of times where they have the Alex Semin play where you hook somebody because every other game he was getting a hooking penalty.
Yeah,
because he's doing great in Carolina right now, let me tell you. So, but you know, it's I think some of it's mental, some of it's a lackadaisical approach when they get a lead and they feel like, oh, they can just sort of ease up a little bit, and they can't do that anymore.
No, absolutely not. So, going forward, let's hope Barry Trotz works with these guys. Hopefully, he works with some sort of conditioning so they can finish these games. But hopefully, he gets it in their head that they got to work for an entire hour at that game. They have to work as hard as they can, and they cannot let up. They can't let these guys come back. If you got a lead, secure the lead. Play your hardest until you hear that buzzer at the end of the third period, because these guys need to start getting points. They need to start winning games. Yeah, it's only the beginning of November, but still, you got to be playing better than this, because you guys, the Capitals are way too talented for this. And you have a solid, solid coaching staff. You have a solid goaltender. You have great offense. You've added to the defense. There's no reason for these games to slip away. These guys are way too good, especially against teams like the Coyotes or the Flames. Teams that, yeah, they're good, but they're not as good as they once were. Or in Arizona's case, you know, they've never really had a huge great big season, but you know, these teams should be beatable, especially by a team with this amount of talent. And it's sad that they aren't, because they just let them slip away. They have to play the full 60 minutes, and they have to be disciplined like that. So hopefully Trotz is able to focus on that a little bit more. And hopefully by maybe next week, we're actually talking about a few wins, because all we have is losses from week to week right now.
Yeah, it's pretty ugly going 0-2-1 since we last talked last week. So they got some work to do. I mean, Trotz is clearly not pleased, and they don't really have a break, you know, where you would sort of see, well, towards the end of the month, what, the week of Thanksgiving? They have 3 days off where you could see a trade being made. Not necessarily that you need all this time off to make a trade, but if McClellan decides to pull the trigger on something to make a move to shake this team up, you know, they could do it any time. I mean, you got, what, back-to-backs Friday and Saturday, and then you got 2 days off. They got 2 days off in the middle of next week, and, you know, a couple of breaks in there, time to move somebody in and have them learn the system. And it's not like making a trade is something going to turn this team around, because then that guy has to come in and learn the system, and then it's going to take, you know, it takes time to adjust. But, you know, something's got to change. We got to see a better effort in their next couple of games.
And the next couple of games, I mean, we'll kind of preview them at the end of the show, but think about it. Friday night, you got the Blackhawks coming. You know, you're going to Chicago. You're playing on their rink, on their
Winter
ice.
Winter Classic warm-up.
Yeah, exactly. It's going to be a Winter Classic game. But the Blackhawks are doing well, as always. You know, they're a great team, and they show it. So if you're having trouble beating the Coyotes and the Flames, I mean, you're going to have a really hard time up against the Blackhawks. So hopefully that these guys can kind of figure it out and show what they can do up against a team that potentially they could see in the finals of the Stanley Cup. So we'll see how it happens. We'll see what happens down the road. But I think it's just like you said, it's got to be all mental, and they got to fix that kind of stuff right now. And they got all the tools there. They just gotta work a little bit harder. So anything else we should cover in Caps world?
Well, according to Alex Pruitt of the Washington Post, he says that Lyke is hoping to return this weekend. So says Trotz, actually. So hopefully Lyke can come back. We'll see what happens there, if he can actually stay healthy this time for a little while. You know, speaking of my situation where you're not really sure if you can rely on – it's still early in the season, so maybe it's a little early for me to say that. But it's sort of coming to a point where you're not sure if you can really rely on Brooks Lyke to be able to play, what, a third of a season at this point? Mm-hmm. I mean, he's got to show over a consistent amount of time that he can stay healthy.
And who do you move if Brooks Lykes comes in and plays? Do you move?
Maybe that's part of a trade.
Do you move O'Brien down? Do you move Lotta down? Like, where? What do you do?
I don't know, man. I mean, I think at the moment, down or out of the lineup, I think it's either Lotta or O'Brien at the moment. But I don't know. I mean, it's tough to say. I think depending on where they decide to play, like, you know, they put him on the wing. Do they put him in the center spot? I think they put him on the wing right now. I don't know. Maybe they bump someone else out of the lineup as sort of a wake-up call.
Yeah, we'll have to see and wait and see where they put Brooks Lyke. Who knows where he'll end up, what line he'll be on, how this will affect the lines. Because, again, up against the Flames, I thought the lines were good. But you do already have a guy like Eric Fair sitting in the press box, not getting any playing time. So we'll see what Brooks Lyke, what he does here. Do you split up Chimera, Ward? You put Lyke with them? Do you sit Beagle? You know, Oates was a big fan of sitting Beagle last year. So does he sit in the press box and bring in Brooks Lyke, see if he can ignite one of these lines? I don't know. I really don't. This is it's a good problem to have, but hopefully Brooks Lyke can come back and do something for this team and hopefully help them get him out of this slump they're in right now.
I mean, I don't think it's just one player is going to get him out of this slump. It's got to be everybody sort of looking at themselves and realizing that what they've been doing so far is just not enough.
Yeah. Hopefully it's the whole team figuring it all out. But I'm just hoping Brooks Lyke brings a little something to this team. Maybe there's something they're lacking, even though I'm not really sure what he really could bring. So we'll see. Anything else we should talk about before we go to break?
Winning. Winning. Oh, wait, we can't. And that was not a Charlie Sheen reference. Sorry.
If it was, that was a very dated reference.
Exactly. No, it's just, you know, going into the next couple of games, we got to see a better effort over 60 minutes. And the thing is, they've done it at times this season. They just seem to be going through a slump. Now, if this is just a slump and it's not a big deal, you know, it's great to see him get it out of the way at the end of the season, because it's better to do it now than in, you know, late March, early April. But hopefully it's just a slump and not something more.
Yeah, so we'll time will only tell. We'll see what happens. So next up, we're going to go down on the farm. But before we do, here's a quick word from the Baltimore Sports Report Network.
What the fuck? What the fuck? Is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.
All right, here we go. We are going down on the farm. We're going to talk Hershey Bears, South Carolina Stingrays. Lots going on in the AHL and ECHL. Chicken Eye Dan, what's going on the farm?
What did you just call?
Isn't it Chicken Eye Joe? Isn't that Chicken Eye?
Cotton Eye Joe?
Cotton Eye Joe, same thing.
Anyways, in the past week, Hershey went 1-2 with a win over Manchester, but they ended up losing to Worcester, which that's not how it's spelled, and they lost to Manchester. So they're currently 6-4, putting them at 12 points. Now, South Carolina went 1-3 last week with a win over Greenville after two losses to Greenville, because remember, they played Greenville 3 days in a row. Why? I don't know. It's the ECHL. They also lost to Toledo. They are currently 2-3-3, putting them at 7 points. Now, in some minor league player news, Caleb Herbert, who we talked about last week, was sent down to South Carolina. He was recalled to Hershey after scoring 4 goals and 5 points in 4 games. Now, 3 of those goals were in 1 game, which is pretty cool to get a hat trick. And as you had mentioned to me, the puck on his 3rd goal in his hat trick went through the net.
Through the net.
That's correct. Through the net, which is pretty sure it was physically impossible, but Caleb Herbert apparently doesn't care about the laws of physics. He's going to do it anyways. But so, yeah, that's pretty impressive that he was not only able to get a hat trick, but break the laws of physics. So, yeah, that's what's going on down on the forum.
Yeah, one more thing I got to bring up. And again, no internet for you, so you haven't seen this, but
I don't see nothing because Verizon's a jerk.
Former Hershey Bear goalie David Leggio, he was playing in the AHL, and there was a breakaway, two guys coming at him, and he, instead of trying to like beat them and make a save, he just flips the goal over and walks and skates away. So like the AHL officials like didn't know what to do. He got a delay of game.
That's a penalty.
He got a delay of game penalty. But no one's ever just picked their own goal up and threw it to the side so these guys couldn't try to get a shot off. So even though it was very unsportsmanlike, I thought it was hilarious. And if you watch the video, I just think it's funny because it's literally like he just moves it and then just skates away from the goal. They also gave the other team a penalty shot, which they didn't score on. But I think that's funny. But I'm sure the other team wasn't really excited to see that.
I got to find this video because that... I feel like that should be worse than just a delay game if you purposely do it. Like, that deliberate.
Oh, yeah. It was absolutely deliberate. He didn't even care. He wasn't hiding it in any way. Yeah, while you look for that video, though.
I have found it.
It's very funny. But while you look for that video, we're going to take another quick break. Here's a quick word from Caps Hill.
What the Puck is available on CapsHill.com. Check out blogs and funny photos that have appeared on the NHL Network. That's CapsHill.com.
All right, everybody, what's going on? Now it's time to go around the NHL. Coach Dan's going to let us know what's going on around the NHL. Who's suspended? Who's injured? Who's been a good player, if that's possible? And we'll find out everything going on around the NHL. So, Coach Dan, what's going on?
I'm glad you brought up suspensions because there are a lot of them.
Of course.
We'll get to that moment. But first, I feel like we haven't had that many up until this point. There's like maybe one or maybe two a week. This week we got a bunch. But first, let's go with Pittsburgh signed goalie Marc-Andre Fleury to a 4-year extension worth an average value of $5.75 million. Now, Chicago unveiled their Winter Classic jerseys, and I already like them better than the Caps ones.
Did they unveil them?
I don't like the Caps ones. So, yeah, I kind of like every jersey at the moment better than the Caps ones.
I did not see the new jersey from them.
Yeah, man, go hit up NHL.com. That's where I get all the news and plug for them. They have the jerseys out there. They're pretty boring and kind of basic, but I still like them better than the Caps ones.
They don't have stripes and stars and logos and everything else you could think of?
No, because they're not terrible like the Caps ones. Anyways, Boston signed head coach Claude Julien to an extension while financial terms were not disclosed. It is being reported that it is a 3-year extension. All right, now let's prepare for a lot of suspension news as we talked about a moment ago. Here we go. Columbus defenseman Jack Johnson was suspended for 3 games for an illegal check to the head of Carolina defenseman Yuri Tulusti. Not very nice of him. Edmonton defenseman Andrew Ferentz was suspended also for 3 games for also an illegal check to the head of Vancouver forward Zach Cassian. Nashville defenseman Anton Volchenkov was suspended for 4 games for, again, an illegal check to the head of Calgary forward Michael Ferland. Can we stop checking people in the head? It's just not necessary. 3 of them, illegal checks to the head. Volchenkov's was pretty bad, though, and completely unnecessary. Not that the other ones were necessary. You know, you gotta hit the body, not the head. The hell's wrong with you? Los Angeles forward Jordan Nolan was suspended for boarding Detroit forward Darren Helm. Hit him right in the numbers, and if you see the numbers, you're not supposed to do that. Very bad on his part. Now, and probably the worst one of the past week, Vancouver forward Alexander Burrows was suspended for 3 games for not only an illegal check to the head, but a late illegal check to the head of Montreal defenseman Alexi Emelin. Now, of all the suspensions, this one was definitely the worst hit. It was completely avoidable. Burrows is definitely a dummy and kind of a douche for this hit. Philadelphia signed defenseman Carlo Koliakovo. Financial terms were not disclosed. And finally, I don't know if you saw this, Nashville head coach Peter Laviolette took a puck to the face during their game against Winnipeg. He stayed in the game, so to speak, after receiving some medical attention. So not only hockey players, you know what, but so is Peter Laviolette. He's apparently a badass. So well on his part, that's the news from the past week in the NHL.
All right, so I'm looking at these Chicago Blackhawk jerseys. Yeah, they're pretty basic. I would even use the word somewhat boring. At least the Capitals kind of went with something different. This is a little bit boring here.
No.
But you know who wore that jersey better? Clark W. Griswold. Because I'm pretty sure that Winter Classic jersey is just a Griswold jersey. If you look at
it. I'll take that over the other one. Caps one still suck.
I think the only difference is on underneath the numbers where the elbow pad is the C.
Yeah, that's a little weird.
And the tomahawk. But besides that, I think this is just a Christmas vacation jersey. I can buy that on eBay for like $12. So I don't know how original that is, but hopefully.
Well, you can probably get these for $12 from China.
Yeah, well, we'll talk about that off air. All right, so yeah, I think that's pretty much it for What the Puck this week. Plenty of stuff going on. Hopefully the Capitals can come away with the win. Until we talk again, there are 3 games the Capitals will be playing. On Friday, November 7th, the Capitals, they're traveling to Chicago up against the Blackhawks. That game is at 8:30, and that will be on Comcast Sportsnet Plus. Don't forget that plus. And if you're listening to us outside the D.C., Maryland, Virginia market, it will also be on the NHL Network. So that is a game that will be aired all over the place nationwide for you guys to watch on Friday. And then on Saturday, November 8th, the Capitals are back in D.C. up against the Hurricanes from Carolina. Will Alex Semin play? Who knows? He might get scratched once again.
Well, they've been winning since they benched him, right?
Yeah, yeah. How sad is that?
I think I read Adam Vigna put on Twitter that Carolina, who just won their first game this past week, or was it – sorry, this past weekend, I think, they're only 3 points behind the Caps.
Oh, well, that's great news. Thanks, Coach. And that game is at 8 o'clock, and that one will be on Comcast Sportsnet Plus as well. Then the Capitals have a couple days off, and on Tuesday, November 11th, Capitals staying in D.C., they will be up against the Blue Jackets. That game is at 7 o'clock, and that will be on Comcast Sportsnet. And that is a Veterans Day, so hopefully the Capitals do something nice for all the good veterans out there on this Tuesday's game. So, three big games. I got to assume this Blackhawks Capitals game is going to be a rough one to watch, but I'm hoping the Capitals come away with a win or two up against Carolina and the Blue Jackets, so we'll see how it goes this weekend and then on Tuesday as well. So hopefully we'll get a few wins under our belt before we talk again. If you want to continue the conversation, don't forget Coach Dan and I, we are both on Twitter, so let us know what you're thinking of the Capitals. Are you worried about the Capitals yet? Is Barry Trotz getting the job done? Let us know what you think. Tweet to us. Let us know what you also think about the show, what you think about us. Let's continue this conversation. Tweet to me at Brando Cash. And Coach Dan, where can people tweet to you at?
You can find me on Twitter at WTP Coach. And you can also occasionally find me at CapitalsOutsider.com. This is a Caps fan-run website devoted to the Washington Capitals. That's CapitalsOutsider.com. But Brandon, what about Brando Cash Entertainment?
Yeah, we'll get to that. But you know, Caps Outsider, also a great place to find information about bobbleheads. They have a whole section of their website dedicated to bobbleheads, but they got to get some more news on this Slapshot Bobblehead of the Month Club thing going on at Verizon Center. I did buy one on last
night.
Oh,
you got that Halloween one that you wanted?
I didn't get the Halloween one. I got the Thanksgiving one with Slapshot dressed as a pilgrim. But they did have a few Halloween ones there, and I almost bought one of those as well. But those bobbleheads are going for $45.
Nope.
Lots and lots of money. So, but I love Thanksgiving, so I had to get it. But a different one every single month. And if you do look at this, my buddy Barry pointed this out. The one in April, I don't know if this is real or not, but it looks like Slapshot is dressed as Jesus. He's got his arms. Really? He's got his arms stretched out. It looks like he's wearing a robe. He looks like he's dressed like Jesus, at least in this silhouette. So we'll see what they decide to do with that one.
That sounds frightening.
Yeah. Check it out. Go to one of the stands and just see the silhouette and tell me if I'm lying. Because I swear to you, I think in April, Slapshot is Jesus. But anyway, if you want more information about this podcast or any of the other stuff that we do at Brando Cash and Entertainment, go to BrandoCash.com. You can get photos and videos and podcasts and everything else you can think of, anything you want to be entertained by. Also, go to Facebook, Facebook.com/BrandoCash. Like us over there. You get information whenever a new What the Puck comes out, as well as all the other podcasts we do on Brando Cash Entertainment. Go to Facebook.com/WTP_podcast. If you want me to stop talking about the Facebook, tell your friends about it and help us get our likes up down there, and I will stop talking about it on the show. You can also follow us on Twitter at WTP_podcast, and you can tweet to the show directly. Now, people, let me talk to you out there, okay? We are available for free on iTunes, Stitcher, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, CapsHill.com, and TuneIn Radio. So many different ways to listen to us, okay? And we do it for free. You guys stream it, you download it, you listen to it all for free. How cool is that, man? So we are asking for your help. Let people know how easy it is to listen to What the Puck. If they love hockey and they watch hockey all the time, if they play hockey, or if they've never even seen a game before, we are a great podcast to get them interested into the sport of hockey and talk about the Washington Capitals. So let people know about it and be social with the show. Let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Vine and Reddit, anywhere you are social on the web. Say, hey, I'm a Caps fan. I want to go to the Winter Classic. You should be watching the Winter Classic. Get ready. Listen to What the Puck, because a podcast like this is rare for the Capitals, and we're one of the best around. So let people know about that, all right? So that is pretty much it for What the Puck this week. We got a Winter Classic preview on Friday night, November 7th, up against the Blackhawks. So check that out. They won't be wearing those specialized jerseys yet. So this is a little preview of what could happen. Hopefully the Capitals are in the driver's seat. They keep their foot on the gas and they go a full 60 minutes. And if they do, even if they don't, no matter what, we're all chanting together, let's go Caps.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by DJ Wolfman. Voiceover by Sarah Jax. For more information, go to BrandoCash.com.
Perfect person to be... All right, I'm hearing the helicopter again.
Oh, he's back.
The Russians are back. Oh, they're gone already. They've landed.
No, he's getting louder, dude.
Is he coming? It's Putin. Hang on. What's up, Putin?
Shut up, helicopter.
He's coming for you.
Hang on. What the? There's no, like... Hold on, I can't hear you. I put the headphones back in and put them on my head. Okay. I don't think there's like an airport near here that this idiot's flying around.